I forgot one more testimony that we had this past week. Lindsay has had on her heart to start a Bible study for young women. And so we were able to help sponsor her young women's night. It was like a Bible study at my parents' house. And there were 11 girls that showed up. And there were more that are saying they're going to come. So praise God. God is doing stuff in the youth. Amen. I'm be praying for her because she's got all different backgrounds and faiths that are coming. But you know what? They're coming, right? And they're receiving from the Lord. And she said at one point, she was like, do I flow in the Spirit or do I just, you know, because some of them come from backgrounds that's not part of what happens. And she just felt like the Lord said, you do what I told you to do. And so she was obedient. And one of the girls that comes from more conservative background said that the whole night was great, but the point of the night where she prayed for her was the most powerful. And that's when she was praying in the Spirit over her. And so praise God, we're believing God's going to continue to do stuff in the youth in our city, and you're a part of that. You're planting seeds, and part of that is we have funds for youth, and that's part of that is seeing God touch the lives of young people. Amen. And be praying. We finished all the paperwork for Luke's night for the worship in Washougal. And I was going to say, if any of you would like to volunteer, that would be great. We're going to need people that are behind the scenes. It's a youth-led night, so we're not going to be as pastors leading. It'll be Luke and then other youth. But we are needing people to be there to pray with kids and to just be present and be praying. Amen? Because how many people know the devil sure doesn't want a stadium full of kids worshiping God? Amen? And so just be praying. We're going to try to give updates each week, and I'm going to have Luke maybe make out some prayer points. We would love to have people praying in advance. So we're not praying to catch up when we get there. We've been praying for a season, so when we get there, everything the enemy has already had planned is unfoiled. Amen? We're believing God for the right churches to partner and be there with us. His dream in this is not just one church, it's the church as a body. And so he's going to be reaching out to youth pastors and youth leaders in our area. So just be praying for anointing on him as the right words to say, and just an openness. This is really miraculous, to be honest with you. That they're allowing this to happen. We have to have a supervisor there and janitorial staff. I'm believing that we're going to get Christian janitors, hallelujah, and we know that there are Christians on staff that can be the supervisors of the event for the school representation. So we're believing for those people to also be saved, amen? So that everybody that's there, that's in every element that could possibly be, is going to be saved, amen? And we're going to pray for the neighbors in the neighborhood. You see where this goes? Because it's not just one event. It's touching all the people's lives. That instead of getting a negative response, the neighbors, we're going to get a positive response. The best kids they've ever seen. The most polite kids. Courteous. These are important things. Why? Because we're not just touching the youth. We're touching the community. And his heart, as he shared last week, is he wants to see schools all over the world do this. Have worship nights on the school property. Amen? It breaks something in the spiritual realm. You can pray for people to get saved, but if you don't break the Spirit over that place, then they're still in the same situation. Amen? And when you worship, hallelujah, you bring yourself into the presence of the Lord. So that presence can be all over that football field. And it doesn't just last for one night, because how many people know that people are not going to stop praising when they leave that place? They're going to keep coming back, and what's going to happen every time they see that football field? They're going to see a place of worship. Amen? This is an amazing thing that God has placed on his heart, and so we want to come around our youth when they do these things and be praying for them in advance. Down to, I'm believing for, he would like to invite some police officers to be present, because we all know that big crowds like that, you don't know, so you plan ahead. You're believing in faith, but you're taking the steps of responsibility. I'm believing for saved police officers. Amen? And we know some in Washougal. So be praying that God just aligns everything up from beginning to end. Amen? Okay. So Done with praises. If you want to open up your Bibles this morning to Leviticus 22, I was thinking about this Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday. And when I was thinking about it, I was thinking about all the different people that are getting ready right now. You have the athletes themselves that are getting ready. They're probably in their locker room. They're talking to themselves. They're thinking about what they're going to do in the game. You've got coaches. You've got staff. We watched this program one time on the people that do the jerseys. It's insane, you guys. It's insane how much work goes into dressing a football player. Like, it's literally it's mind-boggling. I mean, there are 24 hours in a day, and they pretty much use all those just to get the guy fitted in his outfit, right? And when they go out there today, you're going to have all these people that came in to see this. They've paid big bucks to be a part of this Super Bowl, right? They've paid a lot of money. You've got the referees that are going to come in, and they are the best of the best. They've been chosen because of who they are and what they've done to represent the NFL and the referees in this game. Then you've got all the people that are outside that are in their homes and they're gathering together, right? In all these different places, and they got party favors and they got food, and that's why a lot of churches are a little less filled this morning because people are home getting ready for this big event, right? And then you've got the station that the game is played on. You've got all the people behind the scenes that are getting ready, and you've got all the people that have planned for months, maybe even years, for their Super Bowl commercial so that they can get the name out on their product, right? So why am I talking about all these things? Because I can tell you, guaranteed for a fact, that none of them are doing this half-heartedly. None of them are sitting at home going, you know, yeah, just throw something together and we'll put it on TV. As long as it says our name, no big deal. Really? Really? No, they pay big bucks to have their commercials on there. And you're not going to have coaches in the locker room going, well, guys, yeah, we made it this far. Meh, give it your best. Maybe we'll have practice this week. Maybe not. Are you kidding me? No, they're going to be like, everyone's at practice. We're going to go over this over and over and over again. They're going to be up there drilling their players. Guys, we know we can do this. Giving all this positive talk into their heads, right? We can win this. This is ours. The players themselves are not going, well, should I wear the jersey I wore last week that had the tear from, you know, I guess 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, we had the tear on the arm. Yeah, it doesn't matter, right? As long as I show up with my number. No. They're wanting the things that the people have been working on for the last week and a half, to make their uniforms spotless. A lot of these, I don't know if you know, but they're hand-sewn. Some of the stitching on there. Some of you got people that are intricately men. These are not women. These are men with needles that are using their best ability to make these things spot on. So when their players get on the field, they are the best of the best. The coaches want the best of the best of their players. The referees are supposed to be giving their best of their best. The networks are doing the best of their best to record. You're not going to go halfway through the Super Bowl and it black out. I don't think so. Right? No, everyone is giving their very best today. Are we? Are we? When we bring our tithes and our offerings, are we bringing our best? These people put weeks of thought into this, months, years of thought into bringing something that is a game on TV. It's a football game. But they bring this elaborateness to it. They put their whole heart into it. And that's what I want to ask us today. Are we bringing our best when we bring it to the Lord? Not just our gift, but how we present it to Him. In Leviticus 22:17, it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and to his sons and all the children of Israel, and say to them, whatever man of the house of the Israel or of the strangers of Israel who offers his sacrifice of any of his vows for any of his freewill offerings, what they will offer to the Lord as a burnt offering, you shall offer of your own free will, your what? Your own free will. This is something you've chosen to give. own free will offerings, which they offer to the Lord as a burnt offering. You shall offer of your own free will a male without blemish from the cattle, from the sheep, or from the goats. Whatever has a defect, you shall not offer it, for it shall not be acceptable on your behalf. Whoever offers a sacrifice of peace offering to the Lord to fulfill his vow, or free will offering from the cattle or from the sheep, it must be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no defect in it. Do you see a pattern here? The Lord is saying, when you bring your gifts, it's not an afterthought. It's not something that, oh, well, I do have this leftover. I could just throw it in there. I mean, the Lord will bless you for giving, but how great would it be if you got on TV today and one of the news guys or the filmers that are filming says, nah, I'm not going to really focus. I'm going to take a lunch break. And all of a sudden, the camera that has been on the player that you've been watching, on the play you've been watching, all of a sudden it goes, are you going to be real happy about that? No, you missed the play, right? Well, why would we expect so much out of people that are videoing a game and not have the same expectations on ourselves when we're bringing our offerings to the Lord? That's powerful. We should be coming into the house of the Lord with at least a pinch of the excellence that you're going to see today on television. With a pinch, at least, right? No. You should be coming in with the same whole heart as they are working to see this game performed today. You should come into the presence of the Lord with your offering. It's all about the heart. What is your heart behind it? Are you coming in, oh, okay, tithes and offerings, here you go, Lord. I've been just as guilty. There's things going on this week or this or that, and you come in, oh, yeah, my tithe check, here you go, Lord, right? But really what we should be doing is all week long, we should be thinking about our offering. Lord, I'm so excited to get to church and give my offering. I'm so excited to come and plant my seed. Be thinking about it. Be dwelling on it. You know there have been people all week long that have been thinking about this game. So why don't we think about, excuse me, why don't we come in thinking about the goodness of God? And when I plant this seed, in your mind, you're seeing the harvest that's coming. Amen? You're in expectation of the good, amazing things that your Heavenly Father is going to do. You come in with an excellent spirit. It doesn't matter what happened to you this week. Those things don't impact you. God impacts you. They may come against you, but they aren't in you unless you let them in. Amen? So we come into His house with joy and thanksgiving. This is my opportunity to give the best of the best of the best to you today, Lord. And I am so grateful it's not just a one-time shot. I can come every week bringing my tithes and my offering, and I am so excited, God, for all that you've done in my life. This is my opportunity to give back to you, to bring my best to you, to say thank you, God. To show my heart is not half-hearted, it's not a quarter-hearted, it's wholeheartedly serving you. Money isn't my God, you're my God. Do you see the difference in the attitude? And when you bring your gift like that, then that's not a maimed gift, it's not a gift with a defect, it's not a gift that's lacking in some way, because the heart behind it is whole. Isn't that exciting that we can bring our gifts into the presence of the Lord with the same or more excitement and expectation that you will see in people today? Because you know what? Most people are going to get nothing from this game today. Nothing that's life-altering, nothing that's life-changing. But when you bring your gift in here today, it will change your life. It will change your family's lives. It will change the world around you. Amen? By planting your seed, it will change your future. Hallelujah. Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. God, we are so excited to bring our best of our best into your presence today. We are excited, Father, to give to you, Father, knowing, Lord, knowing that you will bless our seed, knowing, Father, that you will multiply our seed. God, we thank you so much for the things you've given us to enjoy in this world. But God, greater than that, we are so grateful for the gift of Jesus, that we can enter your presence, Father. We can approach your throne of grace. And Father, when we bring our tithes and our offerings, it's literally a sacrifice before you of thanksgiving, Lord. We're so grateful for the 90. We're so grateful for all that you've done. And it exceeds the 90, Father, that makes the 90 go further. We also thank you for the blessings that come when we are tithers and givers. Father, that you will not only pour out your blessing upon us, Father, but your blessing goes to our families. We learned in Psalms a couple years ago, Father, that a blessed man, that blessing doesn't just stay with him, it goes to his family. And we thank you, Lord, today that just being where we are in our cities, in our communities, Father, we are a blessing to them. Because we are tithers and givers, we have tithers and givers' rights. And because we're neighbors to certain people, the blessing flows over them. We thank you, Lord, today that as we bring our best to you, Father, you would bless and anoint it in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for your word. Help us never to bring you something with a heart that is halfway, with a heart that is not fully committed to you. Help us to always come into your presence, Father, with our very best gift and with our very best heart. We thank you for your presence today. Anoint every seed that is sown. Multiply that harvest. Help us to be blessed, to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Give God a great big shout this morning. Amen. You guys are a little quiet out there. I know my team didn't make it either, but let's get a little bit louder. Say hallelujah! Because, you know, Jesus won it all, right? He won it all. Pastor George is calling this year. You know, he got a word from the Lord on January 5th, I believe, that this is our championship year. He had a coach from the Dallas Mavericks sitting in the front row of his church, and he just all of a sudden it hit him. This is a championship season for the body of Christ. We're holding up the trophy, right? Because Jesus already won. Praise the Lord. But we're intensifying our preparation and drills and all these kind of things. Just being aware, you know, that this is a game that has already been won, right? But we still have to take our stand of faith. Hallelujah. Because there's still devils on the planet. There's still issues. There's still curse to deal with, right? There's still other humans on the planet that hate God, hate the Bible, hate righteousness. But we don't hate them. No. Somebody say no. We war for them. We pray for them. And we stay consistent to our values and our beliefs and our faith. No matter what the world says. Somebody say no matter what the world says. Somebody say I'm not going to hell for anybody. To make them happy. To not offend them. Okay, I'll go ahead and go to hell with you. I mean, how far is somebody going to go, right? Well, I don't want to offend you. So I'll just go ahead and go with you to hell. No, that's not what we're doing. Hallelujah. You can come with me if you want to. Praise the Lord. And this whole subject of God's Big Ten is all about that. Because there's a thing that the devil has tried to take portions of Scripture and twist them, right? It's what the word wicked means, wicker, like wicker furniture, twisted. And he takes the truth and he twists it. And he takes words like love. And he'll say, you Christians just need to love everyone. Just love every philosophy, every faith, every, you know, sexual perversion. Just embrace it. Somebody say, no! And when we come back to the Ten Commandments, we see why. Right? And our foundation text, first of all, is Matthew 22, verses 35 through 40. And it's this, and it says, then one of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question, testing him, saying, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love. Somebody say, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Now, see, he's talking to people who love God. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to people who call themselves believers, Christians, followers of God, right? You, somebody say, me. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first, say first, right? And great commandment. And the second, say second. So you notice the second isn't first. The second is second. It's not, I didn't get very far in math, but I did get to college algebra 3 times, I think. And I got a C on the third attempt. And then they wanted me to go to pre-calculus. And first day of pre-calculus, I realized I was called to the ministry. So I had enough math. But I can understand this concept of first and second, because it doesn't include X's and square roots and cubes and slopes and, you know, praise God. You understand, right? So the first commandment, love God. Somebody say, love God. The second, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, right? On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So all of these big 10 hang on love. But if you'll notice, the first four, we're going to have a little pop quiz here. See if I can even do it. I believe I can. The first four, because, you know, we're all learning these things, right? Number one, you shall not have any gods other than God, right? No other gods before him. Is that a complicated thing to understand? When I married Shelly, we just had our 25th anniversary. No other women. Oh, that's just so hard. That is just so complicated. I don't quite understand. How many know that doesn't, that's not hard to understand, right? When it comes to marriage is a great illustration of a lot of these things, right? But God, one God. Okay, the second thing. You shall not make any images, no statues, no images to worship. Oh, Pastor Steve, that is so narrow-minded. No, no, no. This is truth. This is truth. Why do you think he said these things? Does God have a superiority complex? Is he that insecure? Oh, no, no, no. He just doesn't want you to die and go to hell. We have to look beyond the commandments and look to the heart behind what he's saying, right? And these first four have to do with love God. Actually, they all, of course, have to do with love God. But specifically, these first four are vertical commandments, right? The third one, you shall not take the Lord's name in vain. That's what we're going to discuss today. So we'll come back to that one, right? The fourth thing, keep the Sabbath day. Give yourself a pat on the back. You're in church, right? That's be in church. How many know there's a lot of people not keeping the Sabbath day holy, right? We'll talk more about that in days to come. We're preaching to the choir right now, right? Amen? So those are the first four. Now the next six have to do with love your neighbor as yourself. The first one says honor your father and mother, right? The next one, you shall not M-word. Murder. You shall not murder. The next one, you shall not commit adultery. See, these are vertical relationships, aren't they? Of course, they all reflect our relationship. They all flow out of each other, really, right? Then the next one, you shall not steal. Amen. And then, what is that, 8 or 9? That's 8. Thank you. So the 9th one is, I know, 10 I know right now, but the 9th one for some reason I'm, oh yeah, you shall not bear false witness. It's not good when the pastor can't remember that one. I remember. Somebody say, I remember. But really, since I've been studying these things and preparing, they're more automatic. And I think that's where God wants to get us, is where these things are automatic. And the final one, number 10, you shall not covet. Yeah. So you see, that's why the first have to do with love God, and the next 6 have to do, it's like the shape of a cross, right? And that should remind us, Jesus paid the price and fulfilled all of this stuff for us. Therefore, some would say in the body of Christ, I don't have to care about any of them. Because Jesus did it all. Therefore, he understands, I just simply can't. How many think that's going to fly with our Heavenly Father, right? No, that doesn't fly. No. No. Somebody say, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Hallelujah. And so these are just, where God has us right now. But we want to specifically look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 7 today. And that says this, you shall not take the name, somebody say the name of the Lord your God in vain. So, Father, we thank you for giving us eyes to see today and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us and hearts to respond to these things. And just to be a reflection of your glory to those people around us, to draw them and point them to you, not to blind them, but to point them up to you. I also pray by the Holy Ghost right now that we surround that arena, that stadium in New Orleans with the blood of Jesus, that city, that no evil will befall it. We bind any attack of the enemy. We apply the blood over all the security and over all of the players and all the people that are there. And the president, I believe, is going to be there. And we bind Satan's attempt in any way to hurt anybody. That Jesus will be glorified. In your holy name we pray. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. So, verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. It's awesome. You know, Shelly and I again celebrated 25 years of marriage. And she, when a woman gets married, she takes the name of the husband, right? And it's a great illustration of two becoming one. There's a fusion there. There was a fusion between Live and Good and Sneer, which also means there's a fusion between Bean and Jackson. You know what I'm saying? And it's just this beautiful thing that only God can do, right? And even more powerful is when someone gets saved, we take the name of God. Do you remember the story of Abraham? When he was Abram, and God said, your name shall no longer be Abram, it will be Abraham. He was literally putting his own initials in Abraham's name. That's the God that we serve. Right? And so as believers, when we get saved, we're literally becoming part of the I Am family. And so that should affect how Steve acts in public and things that Steve does and things that Steve does not do. Hallelujah. How many know there's things that people who love Jesus should be doing, and there's other things that people who love Jesus got no business doing? Right? And the word vain in the concordance means words like, there's two words that really jumped out to me. Words like uselessness. How many know there are people out there in the world today that think Christianity, people of faith, are useless. Right? That people of faith that love God, you are simply a useless person in society. Because they love their father as the devil, those people. Right? They hate God. They hate righteousness. They hate morality. They hate law and order. And if you're a Christian, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, it's beyond we just don't like you. No, it's you are a useless person. And you should be locked up. I mean, this is bizarre, right? It also means the word falsely. How many know we should never take the name of God as a Christian now? We're not talking about the world now. As a Christian, we should never become a Christian and say, yeah, but really it doesn't mean anything. Yeah. Yeah, I'm a Christian. I go to church, this and that, but it really doesn't mean much. That's taking the name in vain, right? We're not talking about, of course, saying, oh, my God, or Jesus Christ in a swear. That's obviously not good, right? But there's a deeper thing that the Lord wants to show us, right? Taking his name and acting like it doesn't mean anything to me. Saying I'm with him, but living like I'm not. Calling him a liar as his son, saying, yes, I believe that, but no, he doesn't heal anymore. He doesn't do miracles anymore. He doesn't want to prosper you. He might make you sick to teach you something. These are taking his name in vain. I brought with me my prayer book today. And in it, every year, I go through and I list out in my prayer book the names, somebody say names, of God, right? And I put them all in a list, and he always adds a couple every year. And I just wanted to read a few of them to you, right? Hallowed be thy name. That's part of the Lord's Prayer, right? He left that for us. And I put in here Psalm 104, verse 8. Got to see if I can read my own. 124, verse 8. My help is in the name. I mean, this is serious business, right? I will walk in the name. Micah 4, 5. Your name is ointment poured forth. Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 3. Those who love his name shall dwell in it. Psalm, I think it's 68 or 69 in there. But then there's names like reward, protector, defense, the God who sees, the God who provides, the God who makes room for me, my fruitfulness, the Lord who heals you, the Lord is my banner, right? Whoever you need him to be, whenever you need him to be it, right? Oh, meaningless. No, not so. Not so. We need to find the meaning. Somebody say, find the meaning. Obviously, Savior, but how many know a lot of Christians know him as Savior, and then they stop there. Somebody say, get to know him. Get to know him. Find out who he is. One of my favorites that he showed me last year is in the book of Revelation. I think it's chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. And it talks about faithful. Somebody say faithful. True. Judge. The Word of God. But it also says he has a name that only he knows. How many know there's things about God that we don't know? But if you go through the list, we know this. Whatever he is, whoever he is, he's good. Very good. And it's good to be on his side. Right? And the list just goes on and on and on. The things that he is, who he is. Somebody say, don't tell him or live like his name is useless in your life. You know, well, yeah, I have it on a keychain. I have it on a bumper sticker. I have T-shirts. Those are cool. But what is it in my heart? Is it in my, am I thinking about him throughout the day? Oh, it's useless to think about him throughout the day. Somebody say, that's vain. Yeah, Pastor Steve, on Sunday I get it, but on Monday it's useless to think of him like he cares about my money, things that I'm saying and doing. Useless, Pastor Steve. No, that's ignorance. We have a God who's awake around the clock. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't slumber. He's always thinking about you. So we should be always thinking about him. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, in the Shemash, that's the Jewish book that's full of great commentary from Jewish teachers, right? It says this in regards to this particular scripture. It says, this commandment extends the concept of the previous one. Who remembers the previous one? You shall not make for yourself a idol, right? So the sages, the Jewish sages say this. This commandment extends the concept of the previous one. Just as it is forbidden, somebody say forbidden, right? To show contempt for God by making an idol, so it is forbidden to disgrace his name by using it for no valid purpose. Right? Yeah, Pastor Steve, let's shout and dance and jump over pews on Sunday, but Monday there's really no valid purpose. Ooh. Somebody say, not me. Hallelujah. We know his name. Psalm chapter 139, verse 20 says this. For they speak, we're talking about the heart condition, right? That's what Jesus is after. He's after our hearts. What's in our heart? That's what we need to, when we see the Ten Commandments, we need to hear the heart behind it. Not the rigid do's and don'ts list. Wills and won'ts and do's and don'ts. Shoulds and shouldn'ts. No. There's heart behind everything God does and says, right? Psalm 139, verse 20. They speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. How many know God's enemies take his name in vain? So if we're in his family, we shouldn't be doing that, right? Speaking against God wickedly. Twisting his word, acting like it's meaningless. We shouldn't be acting and talking and looking like God's enemies. I mean, there are people in leadership in our nation, praise God, a lot of them are being called out and removed or they're changing, but still there's some who act like we're your friend, and then they go out and do crazy stuff and invent crazy policies that put children in danger. Or public safety means nothing to them, right? That should be, more of a description of the world, but the body of Christ that we're talking about here, the Church of Jesus Christ, has no business speaking wickedly, falsely about who he is. And I think maybe some of the problem is we don't know who he is. Not us. But the body of Christ as a whole maybe just doesn't really know who he is beyond fire insurance. Amen, right? Isaiah chapter 45. I want you to turn there if you got your Bible with you. Isaiah chapter 45. Let's look at a couple of these prophets. We've got three places to look at something a prophet of God said many years ago that still applies today. How many know just because God said something years and years and years ago doesn't mean it's nullified today? Right? We're looking for the heart behind it. Isaiah chapter 45, verses 18 through 22. For thus says the Lord who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, God did not create you for no reason. He did not create anyone to be useless or follow falsities and wickedness. He did not create it in vain who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord. There is no other. Somebody say no other. No other. There's no other hope. You remember that funny story? Somebody's bobbing around in the ocean and he's calling out for help and someone throws him a life preserver and he rejects it. And the point is he didn't take the help. He was expecting it to come from some other source. How many know there is no other source of help than our God, right? I am the Lord, there is no other. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain, right? I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together. You who have escaped from the nations, they have no knowledge, who carry the wood of their carved image and pray to a God that cannot save them. Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from the ancient time? Who has told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no other, say no other, no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Look to me, somebody say, look to me, right? And be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. So considering other gods, other sources, other philosophies is a vain thing. Our help comes from God. He'll use people, absolutely, yes. He'll use you. But ultimately, it's coming from him. There is no other. Jeremiah, look at Jeremiah. Just turn to the right a few pages. Jeremiah chapter 3, verses 17 through 23. At that time, Jerusalem shall be called the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered to it. This is prophetic in terms of end times. This is discussing the thousand-year reign of Christ on the earth right now, okay? To the name, somebody say, to the name of the Lord of Jerusalem. No more shall they follow the dictates of their evil hearts. In those days the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel. They shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given as an inheritance for your fathers. But I said, how can I put you among the children and give you a pleasant land, a beautiful heritage of the hosts of nations? You shall call me my father and not turn away from me. That's huge right there. We can't call him father and turn away from him and act like meaningless. Somebody say, Father, Abba, Father. Surely as a wife treacherously departs from her husband, so have you dealt treacherously with me, O house of Israel, says the Lord. A voice was heard on the desolate heights, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way. They have forgotten the Lord. Why are we talking about the Ten Commandments? Because we're remembering what he said. It's important to remember what he said, to never forget his words. If we forget his words, we will drift, every last one of us. Right? And then he says, verse 22, return, you backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Indeed, we do come to you, for you are the Lord our God. Truly in vain is salvation hoped for from the hills and from the multitude of the mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is the salvation of Israel. Salvation comes from only one place. Right? Amen. Return. I love those words, turn and return. We have to constantly, no matter how long we've been saved, no matter how good we think we know him, we need to constantly be turning ourselves toward him, turning ourselves toward him, turning ourselves toward him, because there is a full-time devil out there too, and distractions and voices and thoughts, and it takes a continual turning to God. Not talking about getting saved again and again and again. I'm talking about continually redirecting my attention to him. Every day, all day, not just Sunday. Right? Hallelujah. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 2 says this: "For the idols speak delusion. The diviners envision lies. They tell false dreams. They comfort in vain." So God is telling us right there, any other God ever invented, that's what vain is. That is what's meaningless. That is what's useless. That is what is false. So turn from that and turn to me. Just the other day, I had I'm in kind of a business networking group. And so, you know, they're not all, there's some of them that are believers, I don't know, some of them not, right? We're just getting the word about our business. But one of them gave me, they do a healthcare thing, and they gave me this little icon that's like, it was a gift, but it was something that was kind of new agey, and I stuck it in my pocket. Like, well, I'm not going to probably accept this, I'll probably throw it away because I know probably where it's coming from. But I don't want to be mean. So, well, about a couple hours later, I lost my wallet. I never lose my wallet. And the first thing that came to my head was, that thing is still in my pocket where my wallet normally would be. Right? So I found a trash can, and I disposed of it. And within about an hour, I discovered where my wallet was. Now, I'm just saying that's what came to my mind. I'm not giving the devil an inch because he'll start stealing stuff, right? He'll start doing stupid things. Well, yeah, but I don't want you. You know, just get rid of it. Somebody say get rid of it. We need to go through our houses, through our phones, through our everything that we do, and just say, Lord, is there anything in this, my life playlist, thoughts, things I'm watching, things I'm reading, is there anything in this that is turning me away from you? He doesn't mind things we enjoy, but let the Holy Ghost lead you and get you free. Hallelujah. Amen. I love that verse. For the idols, they speak delusion, right? Isn't that what they tell us, the world? You guys are delusional. No. Actually, it's just the opposite. If heaven is what you want, if hell's what you want, march on, soldier, but I'm not going with you. Right? Idols speak to delusion. Diviners envision lies. They tell false dreams. They comfort in vain. Falsely. Uselessness. The devil will tell you you're useless. And some will bow to that. Oh, I know. And that can even cross over into our faith where, you know, you should be humble. Humble means I'm useless. No, it doesn't. Godly humility accepts the truth of who you are in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. And finally, let's look at 1 Corinthians 15. Got my Bible marked here. See what the Apostle Paul has to add to this. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 through 58. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. in the moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible. We shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Somebody say steadfast. Immovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing that your labor is not in vain. Your labor, everything you do for God, is not useless or false. Amen. And many of these verses today remind me that a good reason for not taking the Lord's name in vain is because there's this thing called the rapture coming. Right? And I want to be ready when that trumpet sounds. Right? Hallelujah. I want to be turned into Jesus so when that trumpet sounds, I'm on the go list. Right? I'm on the first plane out. Glory to God forevermore. That's a great reason to just remind ourselves, let's not be playing with false idols and putting other things in front of God. It doesn't mean you got to be on your face in prayer, in tongues, and fasting 24 hours a day. Not what we're saying, right? We're just saying be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Be in the Word of God. Be in church. Be in the habit of turning to Him, turning to Him, turning to Him. That's what the cross, the shape of the T should remind us. Be constantly turning to Him. And as we do that, we will become steadfast, immovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. I mean, when you think about people that aren't interested in serving God, they are abounding in the work of the devil. I mean, when does the bar open? Right? When is the casino open? How many women can I possibly work into my schedule? Right? How much gossip and slander and how many people can I criticize on my social media and get into strife? I mean, there's no end to it. Unless you put an end to it, right? How do we do it? Return to me. We need to hear God's heart behind all this. No matter how ugly the sin has been, return. Come back. And stick with me and stay with me and be immovable. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I am steadfast in my faith. I am immovable. I always abound in the work of the Lord. Knowing that my labor is not in vain in God. One great example, I don't know exactly where it is in the scripture. We'll close in prayer here. But you remember that story about the, I think they're called the seven sons of Sceva? Not Steva. My sons and daughters would get better response than this, right? But there were these seven sons of Sceva, and they were, you know, there was this demon-possessed guy that kind of lived out in the woods. And they're like, you know that name that Paul uses? The name of Jesus, right? Let's go up there and let's use it on old Simon or whatever his name is up there. What was the name of your guy yesterday, your character that you dressed up like? Amos? Not Amos. That's not a good name. What's a good woods name? Like, come up with a name. Luke. Jedediah. Let's get up. Old Jedediah. He's moonshining and cursing people and, you know, he's nuts. He's full of the devil. let's go out there and use the name of Jesus. And you know, if you've heard the story, they go up there and all seven of them, right? In the name of Jesus, Satan, come out of Jedediah. They said in the name that Paul preaches, right? The name of Jesus that Paul preaches. How many know the name doesn't work for you because it works for Paul? Or because it worked for grandma? It's one thing the Lord told me when I was in high school. Steve, just because you're sitting here sipping Kool-Aid in a youth meeting and your mom is saved doesn't mean you are. Oh, I'll tell you, it took me half a second to make my own decision right there. The fear of God came on me. Well, these guys, they're just out there. In the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. And Jedediah looks. Jesus I know. And Paul I know. But who are you and you and you and you and you? And he just kicks their tails. And they run off. It says bleeding and naked, I think. That's called taking the name of the Lord in vain. It was useless to them because they used the name and their faith was useless. Right? Because they didn't know him. It's a serious business. Right? How many possible ministers could there be out there using the name, having church, but they don't know him for themselves? That's a spooky place to be, right? Yeah, but I've got PhDs and master's degrees and accreditations from this and government support. Ooh, that may not be, right, what you want. There's I heard on Flashpoint, watch Flashpoint, man, and Victory News. They were talking about the social media for Christianity Today. Who's ever heard of Christianity Today? I mean, they've been around for years. And they have radical left support for Christianity Today because Christianity Today, whoever's running that now, is more bent on radical left agenda. And they're using them to try to create strife in the camp with Christians. So what do Christians need to do? Just because something's called Christianity Today. Well, apparently it isn't. How do we know that? Because we know this. Because we know this. So when something comes up, even if it's been around for decades and decades and decades and decades, we know the truth. We know who God is. We know what the Word says, and we're not veering to the right or to the left of that. Even if it's something that's been great for years. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray, right? Go ahead and stand up on your feet this morning, afternoon, I guess, almost. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody just say the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Do you know him? Do you love him? Have you received him? Is he Lord of your life? Then he means something to you. He means something to you. He means something to you. Hallelujah. That's when we can use that name. Use the name. Somebody say, use the name. The name is useful to you. Hallelujah. When the devil comes against you, you simply draw a bloodline and you say, Satan, in the name of Jesus Christ, get off my property. Get out of my family. Get out of my business. Get out of my school. I am steadfast and I am immovable in my faith and I am abounding in the work of the Lord and I am turning to him constantly. I am listening for his voice. When he checks me on something and says, son, turn that off, turn away from that, return to me now. Return to me now. Return to me now. We listen and we obey. Just like a good sheep. We know the voice of the good shepherd. another we do not follow. Another, a strange voice, strange voices we turn away from. Hallelujah. Just thank him. Lord, we praise your name today. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. We receive the name of Jesus. We receive that name. Hallelujah, Lord. Glory, 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 glory to God. Glory, glory, glory to God. And maybe someone is listening to this message later and you're saying, Pastor Steve, I need to say a prayer because I drifted. I don't know him like you're talking about. This is time to make a fresh decision that he is Lord of your life. Just pray this prayer after all of us. Just say, Father God, I receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. From this day forward, I will turn to you and follow you with everything I got. I receive forgiveness of every sin, cleansing from every bad thing, from every sin. And I turn to the truth. I love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind. And I give my life to you from this point on. In Jesus' mighty name, hallelujah. Somebody say amen.